Hello, French Journal readers, listeners, and watchers. I am Gail Wiffen, and I'm the associate editor here at French Journal. Today, I am happy to be speaking with one of our June-July issue authors, Peter Moritzen. Hey, Peter.
Hi, everybody.
Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
So, yes, Peter is an author in the June-July issue. The theme is Almost Quaker. And you can find his article in here, and it's called Are You a Friend? Peter is joining from Lambertville, New Jersey, where he recently relocated, and he has been working on a nonprofit farm reserve called Valley Crest, and he is currently an attender at Solbury Meeting in New Hope, Pennsylvania. So let's get into your article. You open up your article with a really great story that I think other people have probably experienced as well. And you start off by talking about one of the first meetings that you ever attended in Vermont. So could you tell us a little bit about your first experience going to a Quaker meeting and then what question it was that you got from someone there?
Sure. I started going to Bennington Friends Meeting in southern Vermont, and I was just curious about it. I'd heard about Quakerism and the Friends from growing up in Philadelphia. And so I decided to find the closest meeting, which was even still a half an hour drive from where I was living. And so I was just going every week, popping in and out really casually, as the new quiet new person. And I met an older man who had been going there for, decades, I think. And he had had a stroke just before I started attending. And so he had trouble walking, had trouble speaking, and he had trouble with his memory. And so I had seen him several times at several meetings. And I think just one day, several months into my attending there, he asked me my name again, and asked me if I was a friend. And it was that question that sort of struck me as being, had two meanings, I think, in that moment, for me at least. For him, it just meant, do you go to meetings often? We've never seen you here, kind of a thing. And so I just kept thinking about that. And I'm sure he didn't think any more about it after that day either. But when I saw the theme of the June July issue, I thought, wow, that'd be a really relevant experience to share and just sort of think through my own process around that question.
Yeah, awesome. And I kind of love you coming from your perspective of you're a 25 years old, is that right? So you fall into this YAF category that a lot of people like to talk about, that is young adult friends. The age range there is 18 to 35 years old. And your feelings on this topic of membership and whether or not you need to like belong to a community to call yourself a friend is definitely not new among this community. But what I love about your article is that you go deeper into like why is it a question? Why is it a debate? And you break it down into this, we have our personal identities and how we relate to religion in our own, very individual paths of spirituality and faith versus our social lives and the communities that we belong to. And you really break down the two different sides of that. So I was wondering if you could talk more about how you came to that, like breaking down between the social and the personal aspects of our religious identities.
Sure. I think my separating those two comes from being an introvert. And so I think a lot about the separation of individual the individual other separation or the individual group separation. It's just something that I think about a lot. And I think a lot of other people do too. It's just sort of a natural part of being human, trying to relate to others. But it's something that, just because being shy around new people, it's a big part of that. wanting to go to meetings, but not knowing how to fit in instantly, you know, how to be a, you know, being totally new to the tradition and then just showing up. It feels, I don't want to say burdensome, but it feels like there's a weight there that you have to push yourself through, I think, of being an unknown, stepping into something that's a tradition held dear to a lot of people for hundreds of years, and a lot of people take it very, very seriously, and it's a part of their life, you know. And so that, just the experience of being new to it, I think, brought up that separation in me of what does it mean to be a part of a group of people that call themselves friends, you know, and does that word just mean you've been accepted into this group, or does it mean, is there something deeper, like the fact that I'm drawn to it, does that make me a friend in any way? Or so that's how I started thinking about that separation.
Yeah, and they're all good questions for everyone to sort of apply to themselves, their own situation, how they feel about it. We've heard from both sides of this. Well, I don't necessarily want to call it a debate, but like there are the people that say, no, you must be a member to call yourself a Quaker. Like that's just, you know, how we are. But then, you know, defined in Quakerism is that we don't really subscribe to outward forms, and we don't, you know, we don't follow labels and identities in that way. It's more the inner feelings and the inner truth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you also mentioned in your article that you were raised Episcopalian.
Mm-hmm.
So how did that influence your spiritual life now as, you know, a 20 something?
Sure. I think I'm still learning about that part. That's still asking myself that question, I think. But I think I'm seeing myself I think I'm coming around to really understand how deeply the Christian tradition has affected me from childhood. And I in high school and college, I was really deeply interested in Buddhism, and I studied Buddhism. I wrote a thesis on Buddhism in college, and on Zen Buddhism, and so as I've been out of college for a few years, and I'm coming back to acknowledging that the Christian tradition is inescapable in me, in a good way, not in a bad way, that my own experience with Zen Buddhism has seriously informed my understanding of Christianity and the teachings of Christ. And so I'm not sure if I remember your question actually, but, the Episcopalian. I don't think it has anything to do with the Episcopalian tradition specifically. I think it's just it's how I was raised. I was raised in a Christian community, and I think I've come back to the idea of a Christian community, but with I think about it completely differently now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I also noticed, I'm not sure if it was specifically for writing your article, but you seem to have done like a lot of research and reading on your own. You quote Isaac Pennington and Margaret Fell and a couple Bible verses as well. And I think that really helps with personal journeys, is digging into the research yourself and learning as much as you can and just sort of following what feels right there. Yeah. So is that something that you were like naturally inclined to do, or did you do a little bit more for the article, or how did that work?
I'm a big reader anyway, and I bookmark and I underline and stuff. And I was definitely looking into more of the books on my bookshelf as I was writing this, you know, and looking at passages that have stuck with me that are relevant to the question I was asking. I didn't do any extra special research to write the article. I think I'm an avid reader, so there were things that I had already been thinking about as I was mulling over the topic of the article.
Okay, cool. And do you have any favorite books?
Well, actually, yeah, I ran across it. I have it with me, actually.
Yeah.
This little book, the Epistles of George Fox, and it's in a first printing, 1890 something.
Where'd you get that?
I got it at this little used bookstore in Vermont on the side of the road, and I spotted it, and I looked at the year, and I was like, this is should be more than $10. So I picked it up, and I'm going to hold on to it. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Anything else? Any more contemporary stuff?
No, I read a lot of old stuff, and not intentionally, really. I just don't come across a lot of contemporary stuff that has spoken to me yet, I guess. Okay. And it's not like I'm looking either. I just have a lot of old books that I just like to read, and then that's what I look for when I'm at bookstores, you know.
Yeah. You can really, there's a lot to dive into for the early Friends writings.
Yes, they wrote a lot, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, I do want to, let's see, we could end here. I have one comment from the online version of your article that someone left. So, and I thought it was a pretty good comment question, so I'm going to share it with you here.
Sure.
Okay, this is from Carol in Lionville, Pennsylvania. And she says, what a good question. And I'm assuming that's in response to the title of your article, Am I a Friend? Or are you a friend, right?
Yeah.
She says, I wonder, are we the ones who decide if we're friends? Or is it the one who first invited us to be friends? In John 15:14, quote, you are my friends if you do what I command, end quote. And then a little bit later on, she says, I wonder too, have we done ourselves a disservice by assuming it's all up to us to decide what we believe, who we will be, where we will belong? What do you think about Carol's thoughts there?
Very great thoughts. First of all, I want to say that Carol was my, youth group instructor when I was a little kid.
Okay.
And so when I saw that comment, it made me smile. But to respond to it, her first point I think was big in my mind of, what does it mean to be a friend? What does it mean do we decide when we're friends or do we decide when newcomers to meetings are friends, you know, does a meeting decide when someone becomes a friend? That's the thing that I have been a little skeptical about, in writing the article. I do have the sense that, being a friend is something a little more, it's something in the calling, I think is what I was trying to get at in the piece. That because I feel called, or that I sense that I am called, that makes me a friend, maybe. But that's just that's just my own feeling about it. And I like to think that that's supported in scripture, but sometimes it isn't. Depending on what I'm reading, you know. Mm-hmm. The second point, you are my friends if you do what I command. Well, then I'm probably not a friend, you know, I don't always live up to what I should and to what Christ commanded. So in that sense, no, but I think, I think we could beat ourselves over the head with guilt, about not being the person we want to be or the person we think we should be, but I don't think that's what we're meant for. I don't think that's what Christ meant for us. So I think there is something in the calling of feeling called, whether it is to go to a meeting or to do something else. I don't think necessarily going to meeting makes you a friend, though. I think is what I was trying to get at in a not too pushy way. I think in the article, maybe.
Yeah, I could sense that. So we're coming towards the end of our time here, but I did want to share. One quote from your article that I think is forward-looking, forward-thinking, and optimistic. And another way to think about this generation of uncommitted seekers, as we call them, and a lot of friends with a capital F, and other members of other organized religions are talking about these uncommitted seekers a lot. So I liked this one quote. You say, if a generation of seekers and outsiders does not appear to the eye as traditional friends, or as traditional Christians for that matter, it may be that they are called to serve as searchlights for our ideas of what tradition does for us. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not so important that they're committing to something, but that they're raising this the right questions for, and they're going to be largely making up the future of our society of France.
Yeah. And if I can just make, if I can maybe try and clarify what I was saying there, I think, hearing it back again, it sort of reminded me of the idea of when you encounter somebody who doesn't live up to your ideal of a perfect friend or a perfect Christian, whether they call themselves a friend or a Christian or not, I think the idea of letting that discomfort turn inward on yourself, and sort of like when Christ says, look at the beam in your own eye before the mote in your brother or sister's eye. I think there's something valuable there to let your own ideas be more fluid, or let your own concepts and your constructions about membership or friendhood or whatever it is, let them be challenged by others, you know. And I think that's what I was getting at.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Peter, for talking with me today. Again,
thanks,
readers can check out Peter's article in the June-July issue on Almost Quaker. Well, we hope to hear from you again soon, Peter.
Thanks, Gail.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.